Today's Survivor exit interview is just 60 seconds away. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsors over at TrueCar. Because in order to feel comfortable you're getting a fair price, you need pricing context. That's information that empowers you to feel confident. With TrueCar, you'll get to see what other people in your local market paid for the car that you want. And from there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. With TrueCar, you'll easily find the car that you want. And they're going to show you what other people in your area are paying for that car that you want. And now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. And once you register, you'll see real pricing on the actual inventory. That's the competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing you'll see before going to a dealership, so you can feel confident when you show up. With TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing, and you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. TrueCar customers are also more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. And best of all, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
And things like that.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here with our Exit Interview podcast. Here we are the morning after the latest Survivor double episode. Two people went home today, but I only have but one exit interview for you. JP Hilsebeck is not available for our call today. And we would love to talk to him, that he is not around for to take the call with us. So we had sent in some email questions, and at some point, I'm assuming later today, we'll get those answers back. I was hoping that if I had them, I would read you what he said, but unfortunately, we haven't gotten them back yet, and I want to get this exit interview out. So we are going to just have our interview, our call with Joe Mena coming up here, who's going to have to carry the load here today. And then, of course, we'll get into our This Week in Survivor History quiz. I mentioned it on the know-it-alls last night, but we are beginning the countdown to our big show, live show in Austin, Texas, coming up on Wednesday night. If you can make it down to the Austin, Texas area, we'd love to see you. Check out ticket information, robhaswebsite.com/AustinKIA. Lots of great survivors are going to be there. Colby Donaldson, Kim Spradlin, Brett LaBelle, a bunch of others are going to be there too. It's going to be a really exciting night. So come on out and see us if you can make it this Wednesday. Of course, also, if you're doing any holiday shopping, be sure to check out our gift homepage where you can get the links to a bunch of our different sponsor offers, our Amazon links, and more. robhaswebsite.com/gifts. We've got Joe on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Joe, they took out the douchey guy.
Roddy took him out. We got to do a remix on that because they took me out. They did not keep in the douchey guy. They did not.
This time around.
The game plan failed, yeah.
All right, well, Joe, really looking forward to getting into everything with you this morning. And how did the vote end up coming back around to you last night?
Ah, man, come on, man. It was going to be me. I felt it. I knew it. Devin didn't look at me. Lauren didn't look at me. And it was an 80% chance I was going home, but I was going to ride that 20% out to the very end. The package deal that they gave me was an amazing package deal that I could not give up. The idol is going to be flushed. Ben's going home, and the advantage is going to be used. Why would I give that up? And that's why I kind of played into like, oh, I'm secure at the final tribal. Like, yeah, because I didn't want to stir anything up. It was the only time that I ever attended tribal and I was like laying low. So kudos to them for giving me that package deal, because if it was anything less in that package deal, I would have went with Chrissy and Ryan. Ryan and myself, we were talking, we wanted to work together. Unfortunately, I didn't pull the trigger early enough.
You talked about in your Ponderosa video that you had a plan that was going to be to get rid of Devin potentially at that vote. Was that going to work?
The way it was going to work was... my goal was to flip-flop, so take JP out, then take Devin, then take Ben, and just kind of go back and forth, hopefully bring Mike along as well. So the game plan was, all right, Ryan, you have an idol. I never really presented it to Ryan because I didn't want to present anything until like almost like the last minute, and then that's when they told me about Ben. So anyways, so back to Ryan. So Ryan had an idol, so I was going to find out who the five wanted to vote out. I was going to tell Ryan, listen, play for Chrissy or Ben or whoever, and then you, Chrissy, and I vote out Devin. So they would throw their 5 votes to whoever, and then we'll blindside Devin on the backside for 3 votes. So that was my original plan. That's what I wanted to do, but then the package deal came along.
And so if that vote would have happened last night the way you wanted it to, where Ben ultimately is the person who goes out, what were you and Mike going to do next? Had you figured out the next move for you two?
Somewhat. The thing with Mike is like he's kind of suspect. I mean, he gives great advice. He's great on strategy, but then when it comes to executing, it kind of goes left. So I don't think he really wanted to work with Ryan. I did. I saw the bigger picture. My goal was really to wake up or stay up that night and try to get the idol that was flushed out. But I think my goal was to kind of go back and forth. I think that was Mike's goal, but we didn't really discuss it much. No.
Going back to last week's episode where Mike makes his big play at Tribal Council, you seem disappointed when you got back to camp with what he did. But based on how everything ended up working out, you guys stayed in the game together for another vote. Do you feel like that there was some method to his madness?
No, not at all. I mean, Mike, once again, I mean, Mike, yeah, I love Mike. That dude, I love Mike. He's a really good dude. But once again, it's kind of like, I get it. He wanted to make a move, but it comes down to executing. That's Mike's issues, the execution. So, I mean, I think he should have, like, consulted with Mike, with myself and Cole, and we could have made a play. But I get what he was doing. After he explained it to me, I'm like, I get it. So, whatever. I mean, him and I stayed in the game, but we could have made a definitely a better move on that end.
I noticed in one of the secret scenes that you guys went and spoke with Devin after that vote and sort of like offered yourselves up to him as a, hey, use us in the next vote. Do you guys feel like that it was a lot of your effort that caused Devin to include you in the plan for the next vote?
I would hope so. I think I was working Devin and Lauren a lot. You know, I constantly told Lauren, like, Lauren, you understand you're at the bottom of the 7, right? And I would constantly, they didn't really show much, but Devin and I would talk a lot of strategy. Obviously, I wasn't involved in his strategy, but, you know, he was very blunt to me. Like, listen, dude, I'm not taking to the final 3, but this is my final 3. So we'll talk strategy on how to get him to the final 3. And obviously, I would kind of like, you know, throw in my opinions that would obviously benefit me in the end game. But I think I was constantly telling Devin, like, listen, dude, like, you're playing a good social game, but you have to make a move. And the same thing with Lauren. I'm like, Lauren, this is just not a solid 7, and you're at the bottom of the 7. So I think the fact that Mike and I never quit definitely opened up the door for that JP vote.
The relationship between you and Mike is so interesting because going back to the beginning of the season and the first episode, you guys have like this interesting confrontation about, hey, I know you have the idol. I know you're looking for the idol, that I know what you're up to. You guys seem like you weren't even friends. You said that, you know, hey, me and you, that you're insulting his looks. And then all of a sudden, then he's willing to basically burn an idol to keep you in the game after the last vote. How did you guys end up making the pivot from being potential adversaries to the best of friends?
Mike is an ugly dude. Let me make that clear. but, you know, I mean, think about it. We were Cole, Desi, Rourke, and Jessica. We're the ugly ones. But anyways, I think it came down to, like, game recognizes game, and that's what it was, you know. Ryan and myself were the only ones looking for the advantage on the marooning. So I identified them as players very early on. So I identified Mike as a player because of his actions. In addition to that, he almost kind of represented, like, to me, was like a David 2.0. And I mentioned that in my pregame. So I identified Mike as a player, and then he got on the island and was looking for an idol. I need to put a target on his back. So it was all gameplay. It was nothing I did out there was ever personal. So that relationship developed because we needed to work with each other. You know, him and I would always strategize. And once again, Mike is a smart dude. He's a good player. It just comes down to the execution, and we just didn't have the numbers. So, you know, Mike doesn't take things serious. He's really a good guy. He's really funny. I'm the same way. I just don't take things serious, and I love to have a good time. So that's how our relationship you know, kind of grew, and we're still good friends till this day.
So you talked about Mike as being somebody that you saw as like a David Wright 2.0, but a lot of people called you like another version of Tony at different points, especially in the earlier parts of the season. Was that something that annoyed you, that you had the constant comparisons to Tony?
Well, I was aware of the comparison even when I was doing like the LA editions. They kind of mentioned it a few times. Out in the game, I'm pretty self-aware, so I knew people. I'm from the East Coast, and that's why I made sure no one knew I was an adult probation officer. I just didn't want no attachment to like law enforcement. But it was annoying because obviously the game has already ended. I knew I lost. So I'm like, I'm not a winner. I'm a loser. And Tony's like the real deal. Like, I'm the bodega version of Tony. Like, legit, I am the bodega version. Like, Tony, if we were both action figures, Tony would have like all the like the additional like functions, like the llama talk and being able to flip between alliances. I don't have that feature. Like, I'm the bodega version. Like, find me at the corner store. I don't have that feature. So Tony's the real deal, and I'll take it. I'm the Walmart Tony. Like, I didn't win. He's the winner. I'm the loser, so I'm okay with it. I think if I was him, I would be upset because he played an amazing game, and I didn't do that at all. So I don't mind the comparisons. I get it. But I wasn't annoyed. I don't take things personal, so I'm good.
So at one point during the season, you said that you were going to really try to play up being the villain in terms of getting people upset with you so they would want to take you to the end. Do you feel like that after you got to see it all play out, is that an effective strategy?
Absolutely. I mean, I lasted a few rounds because of that, but it wasn't going to get me to the end, and I was well aware of that. I wanted to use that to at least get me to the point I could find cracks. It was something I kind of came up with because I knew people were annoyed. It worked for a little bit, but I knew it wasn't going to be my end game, but I definitely worked it up. I knew what buttons to push. Alan's buttons to push were quite easy. Chrissy's was easy as well. And then Ben, I found Ben towards the end, but it was never personal. It was just all game for me. But I think it was effective for at least a couple vote outs.
Now, you really went hard after Ben, and made up the story about him that he said he swore on the Marines, which seemed to get him pretty upset. And even though he said, I want to get rid of Cole first, it did seem like it was somewhat personal that he was gunning for you at that second vote last night, to the point where he did that fist pump to be able to finally get you out of the game. Do you feel like that you might have gone too far with Ben?
No, and honestly, I'm really upset that Ben, all I got was a fist pump. Like, me and Ben were going at it. Like, I expected
you
him to
do
cartwheels, flips. Yeah, I wanted more. Like, that's all I get, Ben. Come on, dude. So, I mean, with Ben, it was, he went after me at the heel of Purge. So it was like, he threw my name out there. So it was on from that point. Like, I was throwing his name from left to right. And I recognized him as a strong player. I mean, real recognized real. So to me, it was never personal. So even like the little confrontation him and I had, we never spoke. We didn't like each other out there. Like, to me, it was almost personal. Like, he didn't like me. So I was like, all right, whatever, dude. I ain't going to mess with you. Same thing with Chrissy. So a couple people told me, like, oh, Ben's a Marine, and he's an honest guy, and he said he's a Marine, he's honest. So I twisted it a little bit. But once I really felt like I crossed that line, and I did, I don't think I wanted to do that, but I really saw his reaction, how, you know, I think we all kind of experienced, like, Ben's PTSD. It's real, you know what I mean? It wasn't like he's lying. It's legit. So I didn't want to necessarily – I wanted to get him, you know, upset, but not to that point. So it worked. That's what I wanted to do. I could have continued, but I knew that there was a thin line, and I didn't want to cross that line. So it wasn't personal. It was all gameplay. I pushed the button. It worked, and I said, I'm going with it. But I definitely laid off after I saw his reaction, for sure.
So you talked about that you knew what buttons to push with people. You didn't mind when people were getting upset with you. But you had this opportunity at the reward with the spaghetti to be able to make the order. And this was the one time that you said, okay, I'm going to, you know, make this magnanimous gesture to everybody. I'll go last. You guys won the reward. Were you really kicking yourself when you found out about the idle clue, that if you would have gone first, that you may have found it?
No, and yes. In the game, I wasn't thinking that at all. In the game, I'm like, there's no, I thought it was going to be like some type of like corny advantage, to be honest with you. I was like, it's no idol. So I'm like, all right, let them go. And I wanted to kind of distance myself. Like, the first thing people said, like, upon our arrival was, Joe, you went first, right? And I'm like, no. They're like, oh, you went second. I'm like, no. So at that point, I was like, okay, like, I know I have a target, but at least I can distance myself from the idol. Because people were, they were concerned about me, but they were more concerned about me with an idol and what I would do with an idol. So I wanted to distance myself, and that's why I did that. And, yeah, I kicked myself afterwards. I would have loved to have the idol, but in the moment with the information I had, I wanted to kind of distance myself. So, I mean, would I do that differently? If I knew there was an idol, but in the game, I didn't feel like there was going to be a clue to the idol, no.
It seemed like when you came into the merge, you didn't mind letting people know that you had the idol as soon as you came into the merge. And then you also played the idol the first vote after the merge. Was that just that you felt so confident that you'd be able to find it again to be able to just let everybody know, hey, come and get me?
Well, what people didn't see was everyone knew I had the idol. Work had told everyone back at Soku everything that happened, and Chrissy was very open with me. Our first conversation, she was like, oh, Work told us everything that was happening with the healers. She couldn't wait to get back to the healers. So I'm like, oh crap. So she knows we're close. So she knew about the idol. Even when I played the idol to get Alan out, Jeff usually, you know, oh, take the look at the new Levu. He asked Chrissy, like, oh, what do you think happened? And she said, oh, I think an idol was played because of Work. So everyone knew I already played an idol. So I felt really secure coming into the merge. I'm like, if you find one idol, you probably found another. So I'm like, no one's going to vote for me because they don't have the numbers to split. And then that's when Cole drops the bomb on me. Hey, Joe, there's a Yawa 5. And I'm like, what? And then the icing on the cake was, hey, Joe, Mike likes you now. I'm like, what do you mean he likes me now? Oh, he didn't like you. He thought you were talking bad about him, but now he likes you. I'm like, oh, crap. Now they have an additional 2. Now it's 9. It's a 5-4 split. So that's why I pulled out my idol, hoping that if I pull out my idol, I could convince Mike and Cole to vote with me and take 2 votes away from the majority. And obviously it didn't work out. I didn't feel secure. I'm like, crap. I pull out my idol. Everyone's looking at me like, yeah, we know you had the idol. Mike's throwing me under the bus. You know, I'm like, crap, yeah, I'm playing my idol. So that's where it came in. But if Cole never told me about the Yawa, I think I was good. I there was no way they were going to split the votes. They didn't have the numbers. So good for them for just throwing 7 that way. But I really thought Cole and Mike were going to flip. And Jess and Desi, we were solid, so I knew they weren't going to go anywhere.
All right. Well, Joe, thank you for all of the insight into the game. You're a lot of fun to talk to. I think everybody should go check out your Ponderosa video. It's a really nice moment that your sister comes to visit. Really great stuff.
It really is. Thank you.
Okay, Joe, all the best, buddy. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Appreciate it, man.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Joe Mena here on the exit interview. Good job there by Joe. And the good thing about Joe, very fast talker. Boom, boom, boom. Get to cover a lot of ground on the exit interview. Always appreciate that. And I do appreciate how Joe was stirring the pot all season long and doing his part to try to create some excitement here in the Survivor season. Always appreciate it. So good job by Joe. All right, we're going to switch gears to our This Week in Survivor History quiz, where I'm going to be taking on the great Austin Trupp. Here is my conversation with Jordan Kalish and Austin on the This Week in Survivor History quiz. All right, everybody, let's get into our This Week in Survivor History quiz. And I've been on a cold streak of late, but we'll see if I can have a thaw as the weather gets colder. Maybe Rob will start to heat back up as we approach the end of the season. Let's welcome in the host of This Week in Survivor History for the second time this week, Jordan Kalish.
Rob, how is it going? And you've been no Lauren Rimmer. You're not winning too many challenges in a row this year.
Yes. No, I have not. But Jordan, I know that you are pumped up because everybody knows you are a huge Geno Smith stan. And so you are very happy to make some use of your Geno Smith jersey again this week.
Yeah, I'm just 7. Happy that he's playing for another team this time and not the Jets. And I've never bought the Geno Smith jersey. That's not something I ever would have allowed to enter my house.
Okay. Boy, I was so worried about Ryan Ulrich, whose hero is Eli Manning, that he was going to get voted out this week. And what a terrible week it was going to be for him.
Yeah, the classic double whammy for Ryan Ulrich if he had gotten voted out. But he did waste the idol, so it's sort of a double whammy and a half.
Yeah. All right, well, no whammy for us this week as we bring in our latest challenger to the This Week in Survivor History quiz. Please welcome in an old friend and a great pioneer, the Mark Burnett of Maryland, the creator of Survivor Maryland, Austin Trump. Austin, how are you?
I'm great, Rob and Jordan. I feel like this has been hyped up. I mean, everyone keeps talking about it on the podcast. I'm so excited for Austin. I can't wait for Austin.
Yes,
and here I am.
What great product placement we did that for to get everybody ready for Know-It-All's Austin, that we brought in Austin Trump. And also, I'm very excited to have you here because I'm so proud of all of the success that you've had with Survivor Maryland, even filling in for Dom on the Dom and Colin podcast recently. And I knew you way back when you were but a lowly RHAP intern.
Look, those were formative years that got on my resume, and that's really what let Dom and Colin choose me. It was that bullet point.
Yeah.
So thank you, Rob.
And Austin, I have to give you a lot of credit also. I believe that you were the first person to use the pun Rahappy for anything. I think I have to give you credit. So anytime we do Rahappy birthday, Rahappy holidays, I believe that is all you.
Yeah, I posted that in the group and you were like, oh, we need this creativity. Yes. And I haven't gotten any royalties.
Genius. Okay. So we're going to put that beautiful mind to the test here today as we get into the This Week in Survivor History quiz. But first, let's thank our sponsor. And those are our friends over at CanvasPeople.com. And of course, CanvasPeople.com, they have the perfect gift for anybody on your list because they can turn any photo that there's never been a photo yet that they've gotten that they said, can't do this one. What is that? You stumped us. No. Every photo they've ever got, they've been able to turn into a beautiful canvas work of art. All you have to do is go to canvaspeople.com and upload your photo. And I'll tell you what, just for the listeners of this podcast, they will let you try out Canvas People for a special $0 pricing. Get an 11 by 14 canvas photo for anybody on your list. Just enter the promo code RHAP. All you have to do is pay the shipping. It's less than $20. You're not going to do better than that for anybody on your holiday list. Normally $69.99 plus the shipping, you get it for that $0 pricing. They're sure you're going to love the gorgeous canvas. They're willing to give you the first one for free. Over 1 million satisfied customers. That is the same thing they say about Survivor Maryland. To get this special offer, go to canvaspeople.com, upload your picture, select that 11 by 14 size, enter promo code RHAP in the promo code box to get that special $0 pricing. That's canvaspeople.com, promo code RHAP. You'll be having a happy holidays, I can assure you, Austin.
Yeah, almost a million viewers. If I get that, I'll be a happy holidays.
Yes. Okay. All right. Austin, are you familiar with the rules of the This Week in Survivor History quiz?
I am. I'm familiar. I'm ready to go. I have my note, my paper for the categories. I'm ready to check the Kalish math. I'm good. I'm good to go.
Okay. All right. So, Jordan, take it away.
All right. I hope you checked that Kalish math. I haven't made a mistake in a few weeks, but I feel like be jinxing myself by saying that.
Yeah.
So as
Geno Smith hasn't thrown a pick in a while either.
That's true, but he hasn't played. We've podcasted a lot more than Geno Smith has played quarterback this year. So that's a good sign for us. Not a great sign for the New York Giants or that quarterback situation there. So as you guys know, you get two points for a correct answer in which you don't hear the multiple choice options. You get 1 point for a correct answer in which you do hear the options. So here are your categories for this week. We have Sorry Man, Scumbags, James and the Giant Apple, and hashtag Epic Blindside.
Ooh.
Oh, well, you were ready for that quick.
I may have changed the name of the category tonight after the episode. So, Austin, as the guest, you get to choose the question first.
Oh, man. Let's start fresh. Let's go hashtag Epic Blindside.
All right. Hashtag Epic Blindside. So we're going to go to Survivor China from the episode Ready to Bite the Apple. This is November 29th, 2007, 10 years ago yesterday. At the tribal council in which James was blindsided with two idols, which other two contestants received votes?
Oh, Lord. Let's hear the choices.
All right. Was it A, Eric and Todd, B, Eric and Denise, C, PG and Todd, D, PG and Denise?
Oh, you didn't even like a joke one of like Ben McAdoo and Colin Stone.
Davis Webb.
All right. So it's not the one with Todd. I don't, it was his plan. I don't think I'm going to go with that. Give me the other three real quick.
Yep. So the first one was Eric and Todd. Second one is Eric and Denise. Third is PG and Todd. Fourth is PG and Denise.
All right. I'm going to take a stab at it and go PG and Denise.
PG and Denise is unfortunately incorrect. It was actually PG and Todd. On the way out, James
great
voted
analysis.
For PG. Yeah, it was Todd and Amanda's plan to blindside James at this vote. But on the way out, James cast a vote for PG, and PG voted for Todd. So, unfortunately, Austin, you start with 0 points.
Hashtag epic blindside to me.
Yeah, exactly. But there have been a lot of comebacks on the Twitch quiz this year, so you are not in too bad of a hole here. Rob, it is your turn to choose a question. Which category would you like?
Okay, I will go with scumbags.
Scumbags. Okay, this is, of course, we're going to Survivor Guatemala. The price for immunity. This is December 1st, 2005, 12 years ago tomorrow. At the final six, Judge was blindsided after receiving four votes. Who wrote Judinator on their parchment?
I'm not going to ask for the choices. I'm just going to take a shot in the dark. That seems like a Steph LaGrosa thing to do, and I'll say Steph.
Steph LaGrosa. Okay, so we have Steph. We know she likes the filet mignon pizza, but she does not like to write Judinator on her parchment, apparently, because that was Rafe. That was Rafe, who has become a very prolific Hollywood writer, who has done a lot of great things since his Survivor career. He was the one who wrote Judinator, and of course, Judd wanted all of them to get eaten by crocodiles, man. So it is 0-0. Nobody is on the board yet. Austin, you have an opportunity to take the lead here. Two more questions. Which category would you like to
That's
take?
How Rafe's writing career got started with Judinator. The people that he like submitted that as a, oh, that's clever. All right, what else you got? Okay. Yeah.
I wonder if that was going to be Judd Burrs' nickname before he became Fabio.
Probably.
It was taken already. All right, two Geno Smiths on the board. I'm going to go with Sorry Man.
Sorry, man. Okay, so we're going to stay in Guatemala. At the Guatemala Final Six, Judd won an overnight stay with his wife at the Survivor auction. He was able to pick two tribe mates to also win time with their loved ones. What three survivors did Judd alienate by sending them to the Old Yashaw camp without their loved ones?
Oh, man. Well, I feel like at that point, Rafe, I don't think the choices are going to help me. So I think Rafe would have probably taken Danny with him. And so there's Lydia, Steph,
and it was Judd who won the award.
So Lydia, Steph, Danny, and then Guatemala. That's what a forgettable season. Let's hear the choices. Let's just do it.
All right. So was it A, Lydia, Steph, and Cindy, B, Danny, Lydia, and Rafe, C, Rafe, Danny, and Steph, or D, Lydia, Danny, and Steph? Who did not get their loved one's visit?
Option one is Lydia, Cindy, and
Steph.
I'm going to take that option.
All right. Unfortunately, the trend continues. It was actually Danny, Lydia, and Rafe. So Cindy actually was the one who allowed Judd to win this reward. They pooled their money together, and Judd was able to outbid Steph. And Judd said that he had to take his Jersey girl also in Steph. So Danny, Lydia, and Rafe were the ones who did not get the reward, and they all ended up voting for him along with Stephanie, blindsiding him from the game. Another hashtag epic blindside in that tribal council. So it is 0-0. Rob, you have one more question left before we get to the death match, and this is James and the Giant Apple.
Okay.
James often compared turning on his alliance to the original sin of biting the apple. Who said that they're not just ready to bite the apple, but make the whole damn pie?
Who said they're not just ready to bite the apple, they're ready to make the whole damn pie? Well, I'm not going to take the choices because I feel like there's only a couple people that it would be. I don't think that is sarcastic enough for Courtney to say. So I'm really between Todd and Amanda in terms of who would say that. I will go with my recent guest on the podcast, and I will say that it was Todd.
It was, unfortunately, not Todd. It was Amanda.
And we're Amanda burns you again, Rob.
Yeah. Going into the final round.
Worse than the time that I booked her on the podcast, and then she didn't watch the episode and was driving in her car when I had to interview her.
Yeah, and Austin, you would appreciate this. There was a joke answer for that question. Choice D was going to be Steve's from Survivor Maryland Season 2. It was not him. He would have not been correct.
So I might have guessed that one.
Yeah, so we're going into the final round, tied 0-0. Not a great showing this week, but we're having a lot of fun.
Hey,
so
Jordan, your questions are fine. Don't beat yourself up about the questions that you wrote.
I wasn't referring to my questions. I was referring to your performance answering the questions. But here's the final question. I think we might get some points here.
Yeah.
So Johnny Fairplay's iconic grandma lie occurred on November 26, 2013, which is 14 years ago this past Sunday. Fairplay used this in order to win the reward challenge, in which contestants had to match answers to personal questions with their loved ones. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you some of the categories that were asked during that question. I'm going to give you a survivor's name, and you have to tell me between two choices, a right choice and a wrong choice, what the survivor put as their answer to the question. So since it is 0-0, nobody's in the lead. Austin, as the guest, you get to go first. What did Sandra say is her favorite home-cooked meal? Was it steak or was it rice and beans?
Well, Sandra is a big fan of our beloved Outback Steakhouse, so I'm going to go with steak.
That, unfortunately, is not correct. Steak is, it is something that she likes. I recently did go to the Outback Steakhouse with a couple of patrons after the day after Know It Alls, but it was rice and beans, or as she called it, arroz con gandules, but that is a type of rice and beans. So
it seemed like a little bit of a question. I would have known if you had said it like that.
Yeah, well, that would have been too obvious.
Poorly worded question.
Yeah. Austin, you have 0 points. So the only way that you could possibly win this week is if Rob gets this question wrong. So we are going to go to what did Dara say her dream job would be, Rob? Model or nurse?
I will say that she's a mortician. Her dream job would be in she's working with dead people. Would her dream job be saving living people? I feel like that there's some circular logic there, but I'll say that her dream job would be to be a model.
To be a model. So I will tell you that her boyfriend, Billy, who did a nice cannonball off the plank when he was kicked out of the challenge, he thought that Dara was going to say nurse. Apparently, you know Dara better than
I sat
Billy
next to her at the Second Chances finale.
Exactly. So you must have talked about her dreams and aspirations. It was model. You are correct. And Rob, the lowest score ever in the This Week in Survivor History quiz. You win 1-0.
The pitcher's duel.
Reinventing how the game is played.
That's right. Now, I will say that, Jordan, in your defense, that I think that Austin was way overboard when he tweeted that Ryan Ulrich is better at analogies than Jordan Kalish is at writing questions. I thought that was very unfair.
Yeah, I think you're making this up, Rob. But I will say Austin was my first. You know, we needed an Austin guest. It was between him and Austin Cardi. You really wanted Austin Cardi. I wanted Austin Truff. And I think even though Austin didn't get any points, we did pick the right guy.
No, I wanted to get Austin Truff on here before he's too big to take our phone calls.
Yeah, the probes of the Potomac is going to do better as next time on the quiz.
Don't worry. I got to get out of my editing gutter and rewatch some Survivor. Woo.
You're too busy. Hey, some people just sit around and watch Survivor. You're making Survivor.
That's right. Well, thanks for making me feel better. But
yeah. I'm sure Austin, when Scott St. Pierre edits this podcast, he'll give you the a very positive edit on your way out of the game, like you did for so many of your Survivor Maryland contestants who didn't win. So
hey, Scott St. Pierre doesn't slum it and edit this podcast. This is yours truly banging this one out.
Oh, okay. So maybe Rob might not give you such a positive edit then.
Yeah.
Look, Rob, we can't have your morale low. We can't have you on such a losing streak. It's a holiday gift to you. I just want you to know from the Maryland people, we thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Austin. Always a pleasure to catch up. Where can people check out everything you're working on?
Easiest ways. I mean, you can definitely search Survivor Maryland on YouTube. There's no other Survivor Marylands. Shout out to all the other people who are creating stuff. I know it's a lot of work, so there's a lot of great off-season stuff if you guys looking for things to watch. And then I'll tweet about Survivor and other things on Twitter at Austentatious with two S's.
One of my favorite Twitter handlers on that social media app.
On that one?
On that social media app.
On that particular one, yes.
Was this Dan Lembo?
Is this mandatory?
Yes. Well, Rob Jordan, thank you for having me on. I really do appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you, guys, and thanks for coming on.
All right, take care. Bye.
All right, bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. This week in Survivor History Quiz, back on the right track, a 1-0 victory for yours truly this week. So we got a lot here to do in the next 36 hours or so. I have my interview with Hannah, who is going to be coming into the studio. So looking forward to that. We'll get into everything from this double episode. And of course, Bryce Isaiah on the voicemails, and I'll probably end up dropping that one sometime over the weekend. Maybe look for that on Saturday. I'll try to get that out earlier. I know there's a lot of hype always for the Bryce podcast, so I'll do what I can to get that to you guys sooner. And then, as I mentioned, if I get those JP answers, I will post them in the post for this exit interview on robisawebsite.com. Make sure you subscribe. robisawebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We kept in the douchey guy, 'cause his social game, it stinks, no lies. Well, we can't keep track of all the things that he's done, but when it adds together, he'll piss off everyone. Yes, we kept the douchey guy. Stay, but let's be